Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, this is the text we started last week. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in while doing good and well-doing, for in due season, that is in God's time, we shall reap, absolute, we shall reap, here's a condition, if we faint not. Last week, we started studying what we call the laws of the harvest, that is the laws of sowing and reaping. And we're comparing the laws of sowing and reaping, of course, to the farmer, to agriculture and those laws, but they're spiritual laws. And they're at work in the life of every person in this room right now. In some way, these laws are active in your heart. Let's review just a little bit. Last week, we talked about three of the laws. There will be a total of, well, depending on how you count them, seven. You could say there's six in kind of a summary. But seven laws. We'll finish this morning, Lord willing. First three. The first one was this. If you remember from the text, from verse 7, you reap only what has been sown. You reap only what has been sown. The Bible says in verse 7, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And we learn that you can go to the Word of God and find out what God wants you to sow in order to reap. So you decide, what do you want to reap in your life? You say, well, I'd like to reap power in prayer. Well, then you go to the Word of God and it says, pray without ceasing. That's what you have to sow. Doesn't just happen because you want it or even ask for it. You must constantly ask. You say, I want to reap financial freedom. Well, you go to the Word of God and it talks about being free from the sin of robbing God of tithes and offerings, biblical stewardship. Sure, Brother Val, you'll mention some of that this coming week. So we reap only what has been sown. So we have a right in the age of grace to sit down and make a list. Here's what I want to reap in my life. Now I must go to God and find out what seed He tells me to sow. Law number two was this. We reap in the same kind as we sow. That was found in verse 8. Sow to the flesh, reap the flesh. Sow to the Spirit, reap the Spirit. And we learned that you cannot sow peas and reap cucumbers. It's not going to happen. You can't sow corn plants and reap watermelons. You're going to reap in the same kind as you sow. So, if you lie to somebody, someday somebody's going to lie to you. You're going to reap the same kind as you sow. It's an absolute law. You don't know when it'll happen. You may not be able to trace it, but it will happen. If you are kind to somebody, someday somebody will be kind back to you. If you sow seeds of winning people to Christ and you sow the gospel, one day you'll reap by being able to win somebody to Christ. It will happen. Absolute law of the harvest. When will it happen? Only God knows that, but it is a law. A scriptural law of the harvest. Third law, we reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. We talked about that from verse 8. And I won't go through all the details, but the principle is this. The farmer knows that when some of the seed that goes into the ground is good seed, when it starts to sprout, it's going to produce more than just that one seed. He may put that one kernel of corn in the ground, but it's going to produce a stalk, and it's going to have ears of corn. So he's going to reap more than he sows. The farmer banks on that. He rejoices in that, and so can we. Is it true that sometimes you feel, boy, I just can't make it in my Christian life? I'm not really that good of a Sunday school teacher. I'm not that good of a Christian school teacher. I'm not good when it comes to leading or teaching my kids. Well, don't be discouraged. You just do the best you can and walk with God, and you'll reap more than you sow. Just keep on teaching your class. You may find out years later that God did a lot more things than you ever saw in that class. Just keep on praying for that unsaved loved one. In God's time, you'll reap more than you sow. Just keep on talking to people about Christ, even though so many of them reject you. You'll find out in God's time that you'll reap more than you sow. That's a powerful principle, and I love it. I remember I learned it in kind of an interesting way when I was a teenager. This was way back in the, 1860s, many years ago, 1960s, I was a teen. And I started strumming the guitar, and this was in the Peter, Paul, and Mary era. And I was singing those Peter, Paul, and Mary songs. You remember those? You know, if I had a hammer, I'd hit you on the head with it, and all those interesting, exciting songs back then. I was just a kid. didn't get saved while I was a junior in college. But I had a friend named Ron, and Ron and I formed a little folk group, Ron and Dave, and we sang those little folk songs. And Ron had an uncle who worked for a big bread company in Memphis, Tennessee, and which is where I lived, born and raised. And he got us a job. We couldn't believe it. Our first gig, we're going to be professional singers. Ooh, were we excited. We made a commercial for his bread company, Hart's Bread. And I remember we got paid $25 a piece. It was just incredible for kids. And we sat in the studio, and we sang this forgettable song, something like this. Daddy buys the bacon, and Mama makes the bed. Santa fills the stocking, and Hart's makes the bread. Hart's makes the biscuits, and Hart's makes the buns. Hart's makes eating a mighty lot of fun. Hart's makes... It's good, isn't it? I know you're loving it. Whew! Better quit here, you'd be buying a CD. Well, anyway, while we were making that recording, Ron had a Carnegie Hall moment, and he said, you know, let's have a big ending like the folk singers. And he said, this last note, we're going to sing harmony. So he looked at the chord, I think it was a C chord, and he kind of plucked the strings and he picked the note to be the harmony note. But it was the wrong note. And he sang it. And it went like, a mighty lot of, and I sang, fun, and he sang, fun. It was really, really bad. Well, anyway, we didn't realize it till it was recorded and it was on the air. And they played that thing hundreds and millions of times there in Memphis about a month before Christmas to advertise Hart's Bread. And the way they put it together is it would start like this. The announcer would come on and then say, now for Hart's Bread, here's Ron and Dave. And then there would be canned applause, you know, like the baseball game where the Giants are going to win tonight. Everybody was screaming, whoopee. And then we'd start playing. A friend of mine told me that he heard it recorded, he heard it on the radio, and the DJ was behind it, of course, live on the microphone, and he said it went like this. And now, for Hart's Bread, here's Ron and Dave. And the DJ said, oh, no, not again. And then there was the big applause, hey, and the DJ said, keep clapping, maybe they'll go away. Well, that was a trial in my life as a teenager. But you know what I learned from that? And I didn't realize I learned it too many years ago when I studied the Word of God. You reap more than you sow. I mean, that was just one little bad harmony note that he put in. One wrong harmony note at the end of all those other notes that were okay. But that one bad sowing caused a whole lot of grief and bad reaping. That's the third principle of the law of the harvest. We reap more than we sow. I don't know about you, but that's sobering to me. That's why I told you that every single day these laws apply in my heart. And if I'm tempted to sin, I'll have to remember, boy, you're going to reap more than you sow. By the same token, I rejoice. If I give out a gospel tract, maybe God will use it and I'll reap more than I sow. Law number four is found outside of this text. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So let's go ahead and flip outside of the text this morning and look at law number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, both chapters, Paul is talking about an offering. Now, this is an offering that Paul received as he traveled. He received it for the poor saints back in Jerusalem. So it was an important part of his ministry. So in the context of an offering, he says in 2 Corinthians 9, 6, he says, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, he's talking about money. God is able to make all grace, the grace of giving, abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, we must pay attention to the text and honestly exegete. What does this mean? He's talking about money here. I mean, it is true, folks, and I realize as much as you do, the TV evangelist will come on the air and he'll take this principle and pervert it. And he'll say, God says if you'll sow $10 in my ministry, you'll get $1,000 next week. You've heard that. We still hear it again and again and again. He's perverting that principle. However, just because that principle is perverted, I cannot throw it out. It is in the context of materialism. It is in the context of stuff. And the Bible does say in the area of giving, that is money, if I am stingy, God will be stingy back toward me. He is saying in verse 6, the fourth law of the harvest. What did he say? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Even though this is in the context of giving, it is a broad principle. This law of the harvest applies to every area of our life, not just money or stewardship. What is the principle? Here it is. You reap in proportion to your sowing. You reap in proportion to your sowing. He said here, if you sow a little bit, you'll reap a little. But if you sow a bunch, you'll reap a bunch. The farmer knows this. He knows that the more seed he's going to sow, the more acres of sown seed that he has, the more crop he will eventually get. Because you reap in proportion. Now, maybe you're a kiddo and you never even hear that word proportion. What does proportion mean? Well, I don't know. Let's say you take a glass of milk and you're going to make some chocolate milk. And if you put just a little bit of chocolate in the bottom and fill the rest up with milk, it'll just be kind of a light brown. It'll be okay. But if you really put a half a glass of syrup in there, you know, and then the rest milk, the proportion's bigger. So the more chocolate you put in, the chocolatier it becomes. That's proportion. You can even put it like this. You get what you pay for. Now, that's not found in the Bible. That's not a Bible verse, but it's a biblical truth. You do get what you pay for. In sowing and reaping, if I sow a little, I will reap a little. If I sow a lot, I will reap more. Think about the law we just studied, law number 3. Law number 3 is you're going to reap more than you sow. That's God's part, or God's responsibility, you might say, God's promise. God says, I will cause you to reap more than you sow, so keep doing right. This fourth law is our responsibility. This is what I have to decide to do. If I want to reap a bunch, I've got to sow a bunch. You reap in proportion to your sowing. That means if you pray a little bit, maybe every once in a while you have an answer to prayer. But if you pray without ceasing, you may see God answering prayer all the time. You may be able to breathe a prayer during a conversation with somebody and know that you're talking to God and know that He hears you and see God answer that prayer immediately. Hey, if you give out a gospel tract, maybe the evangelist comes and he preaches a message on the Great Commission and we all get under conviction, you know, and you say, I need to be a better soul winner. And the next week you give out 5 gospel tracts and you do that every year. You might win somebody to Christ before the day you die. It might happen. Maybe you'll get what I call a freebie. You know, you're in vacation Bible school, and you're one of the counselors, and 10 little boys and girls come forward to receive Christ, and you get to take one and lead him to Christ. That's a blessing. That's wonderful. But that's kind of a freebie, in my opinion. There's really no hard work involved. They're not really getting out in the highways and hedges and fulfilling the Great Commission. However, if you constantly are aware of souls, you got Bible tracts with you. When you go into the mall, you're going more on a mission trip than a shopping trip. When you're out in the marketplace, you're asking the Holy Spirit to lead you to somebody that has a need to hear about their soul. You sow seed of the gospel. Sow seed, sow seed, sow seed. The more you sow, the more you will reap. That's an absolute law of the harvest. We reap in same kind as we sow. Learn a couple of Bible verses. And maybe you'll have some help when you need it. Learn many passages of Scripture. And you're more apt to be armed when the devil attacks you and tries to draw you away from God. We reap in proportion to our sowing. I love Psalm 84:11. It says this, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. That verse says, God has good things for all of us. He'll give us the grace we need. He'll give us the strength we need. He has blessings waiting for us. He will not withhold them if we do one thing, walk uprightly, if we obey. Oh, often I talk to folks in need, talk to folks that are facing trials, maybe a pastor friend across the miles. It might be somebody right here in our own context, and I'm day by day, but I will listen, and sometimes they'll give a list of trial after trial after trial, and I'm going through this, and I'm going through this. And I certainly want to have a heart and a compassion and try to help them if I can, sort out, see what we can do. But so many times I have in my heart this thought. You know what? You have the same Psalm 84:11 I do. If you'll just obey it, you'll get the fullness of God's blessing. Oh, that doesn't mean that trials are always a sign of negative judgment at all, because God in His goodness sends trials. Paul, one trial after another, that was his whole life. God used it to build him. But when I sometimes talk to a brother in Christ, maybe that's in the ministry, and he tells me, this didn't happen, this one, oh, what I'm going to do, I just want to say, Psalm 84:11 is right there. I don't know your life, but you do. If you will seek to obey God, you will get all the good things that He has for you. For He says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Powerful principle. If you want to see more of it, take the time to read Deuteronomy 28. Go to the Old Testament, not right now, but Deuteronomy 28. There, very powerfully, very literally, God says to Israel, if you obey me, I'll bless you. I'll bless your land. I'll bless your family. I'll bless your heritage. I'll bless everything. I'll bless your crops. I'll bless your stewardship. If you obey me, then he turns right around and gives this long passage. If you disobey me, I'll curse your land. I'll curse this and this and this. That's the character of God, which says, I am a jealous God, a holy God. I'm looking for believers who will say, I'm going to obey. And when I find a believer who says, I will obey, God says, I'm going to pour out blessings. I will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. So you say, well, how much? You know, how much should I really give to God? It's true that I'm going to, if I sow a lot, I'll get God's fullness. How much should I give to Him? Well, let Jesus answer. He says in Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's powerful. Think about that. You know, just diagram that in your mind. Say you're preaching it. With all thy heart. What applies there? With all thy soul. With all thy mind. Think about that. That's what God asks. And God says, as you yield unto me in every area, you know what I'll do? I'll give you a great crop in your land. I'll pour out blessings. So many, Deuteronomy says, that there'll not be room to receive it. It'll be almost like you say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. You're sending so many blessings my way, I feel like they're just bowling me over. I just can't take all these blessings. I don't know how to handle it. That's what life can be back like and ought to be like. If we'll take the law of the harvest, which says, you reap in proportion to your sowing. The more we sow, the more good things we will get from God. Does that mean we'll not have trials? Absolutely not. Could be the best thing we'll get is a trial. I can tell you trials I've gone through in the ministry. Difficult times. And boy, am I going to make it? This hurt. I don't understand it. Get to the end of the trial, look back and say, Lord, thank you. I made it. And I see the reason. I understand you used it for your glory and my good. I praise you for that. Law number four. You reap in proportion to your sowing. Sow a little, reap a little. Sow a bunch, reap a bunch. So we ought to all ask ourselves, what are we sowing right now? We'll reap as we sow. Now let's go to law number five. Law number five is found in verse 9. Let's go back to Galatians 6, please. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go back to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Again, the text, verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, aha, when are we going to reap? We shall reap if we do not lose heart. When are we going to reap? Well, what about the farmer? Hey, the farmer works hard. You know, he spends an entire month. He plows up all the land.
He gets all the seed planted. He covers it up. He fertilizes. He takes care. And then after it's all done, he says, boy, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and look out the window. There's going to be a beautiful corn crop. No, he has more sense than that. He knows the laws of physical agriculture. He knows it's going to take some time for the seed to take root. It's going to take some time for the little plants to grow. It's going to take some good weather and some rain and some sunshine and some cloud and some humidity and some night. It's going to take time. The farmer knows. Law number 5, you reap in a different season than you sow. You reap in a different season than you sow. Oh, this can be a wonderful blessing. How can it be a blessing? Well, I'll tell you how. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says this, cast your bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it after many days. What's he saying? Man of wisdom there is saying, just do good, do right, be a blessing, be a help all you can. Someday that blessing that you are to others will come back to you. It won't come back the next day. You'll find it after many days. Paul calls it here in due season. The man of wisdom in Ecclesiastes calls it after many days. So what do? You obey God. You walk with God. You do what is right. And you wait on Him for the harvest. Proverbs 11:18. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Wow. To him that sows righteousness, you do right, there will be a reward. That's an absolute. God will not be a debtor to any man. As you obey God, Psalm 84:11, in a sense, and God can do anything He wants to, but God is so good and gracious and merciful, He's allowed us this in this age. As you do right, God now owes you a blessing. He owes to pour the good things out upon you. He implied that in Psalm 84:11 when he said, no good thing will I withhold, saying, I've got good things for you. They're right here. I might have to hold them back until you obey. But when you obey, I open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour these blessings out upon you. Sometime, read the book of Titus. The whole book of Titus to believers. Really, the theme might be this. Be careful to maintain good works. And there, he talks about doing good as believers. Now, of course, you know in this room, doing good works has nothing to do with going to heaven or hell. You receive Jesus Christ alone. He paid all the work, all the price. He did all the work and paid the whole price on the cross of Calvary. It's His righteousness He's willing to exchange for our rottenness. That's the grace of God in salvation. It's a free gift. But after you're saved, we are saved, Ephesians says, unto good works. We are His workmanship. Greek word there, poema in Ephesians 2. We're to become a beautiful poem, and our whole life is to be one of doing good for the glory of God. So, how does that apply here? Well, it's wonderful. If you'll just sow all the good you can, God will bless it, and you will reap good as a result. Now, again, we don't want to become so introspective, you know, like engineers. Is there any engineers in this room? You know, maybe you're an engineer. Wow, I don't see any. I think in some churches we're full of engineers. And those are the last guys, by the way, you want on the deacon board, Pastor. Now, if they're godly men and God puts them there, great. I have some wonderful engineer friends. But engineers are so analytical. They will drive you up a wall. I mean, you can be having this little meeting with your deacons, and you can say, well, what color do you think we ought to paint the nursery? And it's obvious what color you ought to paint it. You know, one of the women could probably pick the color than you guys, better than you guys. But this engineer will analyze. He'll analyze the color spectrum and the chemical makeup of the, and he'll project, you know, here's the projection of how long this paint will last. And you'll say, it's time to go home. The baseball game's going to be on in 30 minutes. You know, let's get this over with. You know, just make the decision and go on, you know. But that's what engineers do. They analyze. And sometimes we do this when we study the laws of the harvest. You don't spend your time trying to second-guess God and say, well, that's why I'm facing this thing in my life because I did this 20 years ago. No, you can be robbed of peace and joy in that. If there's a sin that needs to be confessed, God will graciously show you as His child. You will know it. And you can get it right and go on and serve God. But don't become so analytical and introspective that you gauge everything by the laws of the harvest, I'm convinced we're not going to know the complete spin out of these laws in some situations till we get to heaven. And even then, we may not understand. The fact is, the laws of the harvest are working right now. There's something probably in your life today that you are reaping, that you sowed some time ago. You might not even know it. The key is, take these laws, do what's right, and trust God for the results. It used to break my heart as a pastor when we'd see a young couple come to church, hear the gospel, receive Christ as Savior. We'd disciple them, begin to work with them, and they'd grow, and they'd be coming often, come on Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they're really growing. Boy, 6 months, a year goes by, and you're excited. And then maybe Wednesday night, the husband will stand up and say, "Praise the Lord, I got a promotion at work," and of course, we're thankful. Praise the Lord, doing a good job, have a testimony. But then something happens. He starts climbing that ladder, you know, and starts missing Wednesday night, and then starts missing Sunday school, and then just starts coming when it's convenient, and materialism takes over, and you see his family begin to deteriorate, and sad things happen. In some cases, I believe, he had sown seed, good seed, training his family, growing, getting close to God. He was about to experience a wonderful harvest of God's fullness of blessing on his family, but he cut it off. He stopped. He was not really willing to persevere and see the harvest come to fruition in a different season than he had sown. This is also a great encouragement to me in winning souls to Christ. It is true that not many people immediately respond to the gospel, but I never get discouraged. I can just say, "Lord, thank you. I got another no out of the way." You were here Wednesday night, you know what we're talking about. I got another negative in life. This person threw the track down. Praise the Lord, another no out of the way. I'll just sow the seed. Keep witnessing. Keep giving the gospel. I will reap when? When God wants me to. In a different season than I sow. Maybe you're in a soul winning program in your church, and I speak from experience. And you say, "Boy, I learned all the verses. I learned the illustrations. And, you know, I went out with a group. We went 4 Saturdays in a row, and nobody got saved. I couldn't even find anybody home. This just doesn't work. I quit." Well, you quit too soon, because all you have to do is say to the devil, "I'm just sowing. God will take care of the reaping. I will continue to sow and continue to sow and continue to sow. You know what I'm going to reap? In a different season than I sow, in God's time and in God's way." So sow all the good you can, the best you know how, and let God take care of the results in His time. Now, there's a negative side to this one. The negative one's a pretty sober warning, and that is this. God may sometimes, in His long-suffering, in His patience, wait years before He disciplines our sin. That may happen. Take the children of Israel. They were supposed to keep what was called the sabbatical year. That means they were to leave the land alone for 1 year every 7th year. God's law of the harvest. But they got greedy and they disobeyed. And for 490 years, they didn't observe. They kept working the land. They disobeyed the Lord. God said to them in Leviticus 26, 33 and 34, "I will scatter you among the heathen. Then the land shall rest and enjoy her Sabbaths." God said, "Because of your sin, I'm going to scatter you off the land so the land will rest." You would think that the next day God would judge Israel. Did He do that? No. He waited about 500 years. He waited about 500 years. And then He sent Nebuchadnezzar, the Assyrians, down from the north and knocked down the temple, etc. And we had the Babylonian captivity, and the land rested for 70 years. They reaped what they had sown, but it was in a different season than they had sown. Ecclesiastes 8:11 talks about our heart, all of us. It says this: "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." What does that mean? Well, it means we sin and we think we get away with it, but we don't get away with it. We violate God's holiness, we trample on His holiness, we choose to sin, and when the next day comes and everything's, we think, well, you know, it's, well, we've asked the Lord to forgive us, and He has. You confess your sin to the Lord and immediately He will completely forgive and put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the power of Christ's blood. But that doesn't guarantee the laws of the harvest have stopped. It may be that God may bring judgment years down the road. I guarantee you, I met some men when I was in the road in full-time evangelism. We were on the road in this country and in other countries really for, I don't know, almost 9 years preaching revival meetings. And I know there was some men I came in contact with in churches who all their life in the local church, they said, "Lord, I am going to serve you in this church, but not right now. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm making a living." And they were making a living, but really what they were doing is they were just doing things to make more money and make themselves feel good and things they could have set aside to put God first. And it was just an excuse. "Lord, I'm going to serve you more when I retire. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to give biblically and I'm going to serve God in the church. But right now I don't have time to do much for you." And they eventually retired. And within 6 months, God took them home to heaven. They were gone. God said, "I'm not going to let you sit around and enjoy this and you know, spend the rest of your life going fishing and playing golf and saying you're going to serve me when you stole those years from me." These are the laws of the harvest. They're sobering. God may wait years in His patience even to discipline His children. Well, that sobers me, but I love to close this point on a positive note. That is, I rejoice that if I just keep sowing good seed, I'll reap it in God's time. We spent 12 years planting and pastoring a church in Wisconsin. God was wonderful there. God blessed. When we left there and went into full-time evangelism, we'd been on the road about maybe 2.5 years, I believe. And I was talking to somebody back at that church. And he said, "Brother Marva, this last Sunday, we had a lady come to our church. And she heard the gospel and she got saved." I said, "Wonderful. Tell me about it." And this guy said, "Well, she told us that 9 years ago, Claudia Barba had knocked on her door in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, and told her about the church and about the Lord. 9 years ago. Now, it took that lady 9 years to find the church." Whew, you know, maybe no GPS or maps or whatever. but she finally came to church 9 years later. But you know what? 9 years to God is nothing. 50 years to God is nothing. 500 years to the Babylonian captivity, that's just a moment to God. So be warned and rejoice that we will reap in a different season than we sow. Law number 6 is found also in verse 9. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, that is God's time, we shall reap," and here's a condition, "if we faint not," if we do not lose heart. That's interesting. Here we have a condition in this law of the harvest. This one says, you will get God's blessing, the fullness of the harvest, you'll enjoy the reaping if you persevere, if you hang in there. Now you take the farmer. The farmer plants the garden, and he works hard to reap the crops. He hoes, he waters, he fertilizes, he prunes, he prays over it. He works. He anoints it with oils, you have to. And then God, in His time, gives the crop. Let me ask you a question. Does the farmer have to labor to have weeds come out of his garden? I mean, let's say here's the farmer. He looks across the road, and there's Brother Farmer, you know, the other guy. And he's got a corn crop, and there's all weeds. And this farmer say, "You know what? I want to have a crop like he does, so I'm going to go down to the weed store, and I'm going to buy some weed seeds, and I'm going to plant these weed seeds so I can look like the guy across the street." No, here's the point, folks. We do not have to labor for the sin to be introduced into our life. We do not have to work for evil to be around us. It's already there. You do not have to get up tomorrow morning and say, "Here's another day for me to do some bad things. Let me make a list of some sins that I might commit today, you know, because I have the flesh and I'm going to be tempted." No, the devil's been up all night making that list for you. Evil's all around us. The tares will be sown. We don't have to work at the evil. We don't have to do any work to have temptation all around us. We still have the old nature. I don't have to get creative and try to figure out ways to displease my Lord because I still have the old nature and I have the world outside and I have the flesh and the devil and his army of demons. You don't have to work at the evil. You don't have to work for weeds. But you do have to work to enjoy the harvest of the good. You do have to work to enjoy the reaping that God will send your way. You don't have to work for weeds. They'll come up on their own. But if you decide to see the fullness of the harvest, it's going to take some labor. You're going to have to persevere through trials. Matthew 13 says, you know, you sow the good seed, the enemy comes in right behind to sow the evil. The enemy sowing the evil. But we have to decide by the grace of God, I am going to do right, know my Lord, walk with Him, run from evil, do what's right, persevere through trials. And then, in God's time, in due season, I will enjoy the wonderful harvest. Somebody said, whenever saints say, rise up and build, the enemy's right behind to rise up and oppose. Now, this will change your attitude toward trials, won't it? Sometimes our attitude toward trial is, boy, this is just not fair. I don't like it. God doesn't love me. Sometimes we beat ourselves up a whole bunch, too much, saying it's all my fault. I don't like this sin. We spend the whole time trying to figure out what sin we've committed. And we've just become disarmed. And we cannot pray. We're not useful for God. Change attitude toward trials. I can look at trials and say, Lord, tribulation does work patience. And I do know that you are a sovereign God. And here I am in the midst of this trial. Lord, it might even be hurting. It may not make me feel good. But I am going to come to you and say, Lord, thank you. You see the end from the beginning. And God, by your grace, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to get bitter towards you. I'm not going to second guess you. I'm going to know you better in the Word of God. I'm going to walk with you as Paul did so often and clearly in Scripture. I am going to make it through the trial because I know that at the other end of the trial, there's probably a great harvest waiting for me. And just like the farmer who says, I'm going to labor to keep the weeds out and to fertilize and to help it grow, I am going to labor to walk with God. You see, law number 6, you reap the good if you persevere. The evil comes to harvest on its own. I'll say that again. Law number 6, you reap the good if you persevere. The evil comes to harvest on its own. Somebody said, if you're impatient, sit down quietly and talk to Job. If you're a little strong-headed, go see Moses. If you're weak-kneed, look at Elijah. If you have no song in your heart, listen to David. If you're getting sorted, spend some time with Isaiah. If your faith is failing, get to know the Apostle Paul. If you feel like you're getting lazy, check out James. He says, works without faith is dead. Faith in Christ is faith in Christ alone. That's saving faith. But then our active faith that even draws other to Christ is faith that says, I am going to do what I can for God, trusting God to use me in spite of myself. Really, this is what the Christian life is all about, isn't it? It's just one day at a time, trusting, working, praying, planting, sowing the seed, and then reaping in God's time. I heard about a man who was very wealthy. He deeded all of his property to his only son. He had planned to live with him the rest of his life. So what his son did, he got his dad to move into the house with him. So he moved the dad in, planned to take care of him until he died. The daughter-in-law, though, the son's wife didn't like it, and she got tired of having him around the dad. And the son kind of caved in and decided to put his dad in a nursing home. Well, the day came for him to accompany him to that pretty bad nursing home. Now, there's some wonderful nursing homes out there, but this one wasn't a good one at all. And the two men, the son and the dad, walked down this long road to get to that nursing home. And they stopped for a minute. The old man was tired and he was resting. The son felt guilty about putting him in this place. And he tried to offer a weak excuse, you know. But the dad, who was totally in control, even though he was
having a few tears, said, "Son, I'm not crying because you're sending me to this broken down, cheap nursing home. So I am crying now because of my own sin. Because you see, son, 40 years ago, I took my dad to the same nursing home. And I did the same thing with my father that you're doing to me. I'm just reaping what I sowed so many years ago." Sowing and reaping. Absolute laws. The last one, we call it a law, but you may not say it's a law. It's a wonderful principle, and here it is. The last one is this. You cannot change today's harvest, but you can work on tomorrow's. None of us in this room can alter what we may be reaping today because we've already sown seed for that in the past. Can't do that. So I am not going to be so introspective that I put myself out of commission and sit around and blame myself and whine. Oh, it's just not, it's all my fault. It'll never, my kids will never do. It's all my. I'm not going to do that. If there's sin that I need to confess, I will do that. Ask forgiveness, and then I'm going to get up and go on. You know why? Because I can't change today's harvest, but I can start working on tomorrow. So I'm going to take the laws of the harvest and say, what can I do to work on tomorrow's harvest? What do I need to start sowing? What bad seed am I sowing in my life right now that's going to bring forth a bad harvest? I'm going to stop it. I'm going to stop in my tracks, repent of it, ask God to forgive me. Change my lifestyle, change habits, get help if need be. I'm going to stop. I'm on the road to reaping a harvest that I don't want to reap. It's going to happen because, you know, this text says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. I mean, the very word temptation, the root word means deceive. Temptation is deceiving. The devil says, hey, you can get away with it. It'll be okay. The devil says, nobody's tempted like you. The devil says, well, it's, you deserve this sin. The devil is a deceiver. He's a liar. Be not deceived. God, who is holy and righteous, will not be mocked. So I look at my life, and so should we all. And we should be honest before God. What is it that we're sowing that we need to stop in our tracks today? Stop sowing and get it right with God. And I love this. What is it I need to start sowing? God is a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, a God of restoration. And He says, yes, I'm grateful, child, that you're willing to humble yourself before me and promise to stop sowing. Now, I want you to be productive for me, so I'm going to show you what you can sow that would eventually bring glory unto my name. Do you need to start sowing more consistent time in the Word of God every morning? Do you need to start sowing more consistent attendance with God's people? Stop forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but put aside the excuses. Make some lifestyle changes and say, I'm going to sow good seed that I might reap the harvest for God in the days ahead. It is true that as I think about these principles, selfishness in some way enters in, doesn't it? I mean, you know, I think, boy, it's true. I want to enjoy God's blessing, and I want to get up every morning and say, boy, it's a great day, God is good. You know, I've got all I need, more than I need. Boy, this is wonderful. And in a sense, you begin to think, well, that's kind of selfish. But the exciting thing about that, God is so merciful, He allows that. He says, as a child, I want you to get my blessing. Now, I have to, of course, examine my heart and make sure my motives are not so self-centered, altruistic, that I just want to be for me. I want to make sure I'm willing to do anything God calls me to do, sacrifice in any way that God might be glorified. And that happens, of course, as we grow in the Lord. And we realize how much He did for us on the cross. And it finally dawns on us what we really have in everlasting life. And we begin to look at this life and say, you know what? Life is just a vapor. You go outside on a January Wisconsin morning, you go outside on a June Wisconsin morning, and it's cold, and you know, you breathe, and you see your breath, and it's gone. That's life. That's how short it is. We'll be with Him before we know it. The only thing we'll ever see again forever and ever and ever is what we do for Him. So take advantage of the laws of the harvest. Let the Holy Spirit use them if need be.
to show you things you need to get right. But take the principles and the promises and say, Lord, tomorrow, starting tonight, this afternoon, right now, tonight, I'm going to sow good seed. And I thank you, Lord, that you will not be mocked. You will not be my debtor. If I walk uprightly, you will not withhold anything, any good thing from me. That you might be glorified. You might be lifted up. Let's bow our heads together for a moment.